start a new sefer, which brings us into an introduction to Klal Yisrael, introduction to the beginning of Klal Yisrael, introduction to Yetzias Mitzrayim that leads to Kabbalah Satira. And the Forshim explain that these parashas of Shemois Va'era Boi B'Shalach are parashas that are introductions to how we should have the Derech Eretz Kodmah LaTorah, how we should associate ourselves with the Mahalach even before we receive the Torah, how we should connect with the Midas that we require in order to receive the Torah. And if you go through these parashas, there's one very, very fascinating Midah that's probably the most difficult challenge a person has in life, and that is the Midah that the Pasuk talks about in Perik Aleph, in Shemois, Pasuk Ches. Vayokim melech chodosh al Mitzrayim asher lo yoda es Yosef. Yeah, a new melech chodosh came on Mitzrayim asher lo yoda es Yosef, never knew Yosef. So Rashi's two pshatim, asher lo yoda es Yosef. Also atzmaik ilu lo yoda. He made himself out as if he never knew him. Now this is a very, very difficult explanation. Obviously you have to understand, how do you make yourself out as if you never knew Yosef? Yosef was a hero. Yosef saved Mitzrayim and the world from incredible depth of famine, brought wealth to it. What's Peshat Asher Lo Yoda Es Yosef? So this is really the back to this. And the background to this was that Paroi felt a debt of a Koras HaToyev to Yosef. He felt that Yosef deserved to have respect, and not only him, his children and grandchildren deserve to have a place in the tzibur, in the society of Mitzrayim that's going to be respected. But there was an uprising, and they said, no, we want to take these people and degrade them and enslave them and make them work for us. And Paroi said, I'm not having it. And they forced him out of his throne for 3 months, says the Medrash. He gave up being a king for 3 months until finally he cracked, and he came back and he became a king. And that's why he became a king again. He renewed his kingship after this element of stepping down that he was. It was Moisen Nefesh for Korav Satoiv. So Asher Lo Yoda Es Yosef actually was an element over here of Kafias Toiv to Yosef. Says the Medrash, and the Rabbeinu Bachai brings him down, Asher Lo Yoda Es Yosef, Kol HaKofer B'Toivoso Shel Chaveri. Anyone who denies the good that a friend does, eventually he will deny the good that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does to him. Shahar Iksiv, the Pasuk says over here, Asher lo yoda es Yosef, he did not know Yosef. Ubesoif omer, and also the idea, I don't know who Hashem is. Marshal Amar Dovadayimah brings a mention, what's a marshal to? La odom shurogam ikonim shal duchus. There was a statue or a picture or something in town of a duke or a minister, and somebody threw a rock at it. Omar HaMelech, the Melech says, Hatizu es reisho, chop his head off. Lemochuhu oisa bikein, tomorrow he'll start spitting at me. In other words, the Medrash says very clearly that there is a natural progression. A person who denies the good of a Koras HaToyev to an individual eventually will become an Apikoros. And Rabbi Yisrael, you have to understand, it's an amazing, amazing thing. The Gedoy Le'olam, if you look at them, the HaKoros HaToiv they have is almost exaggerated. You see how great they are, but the HaKoros HaToiv, sometimes that they'll come for a shiva because a grandfather once, took me in, I stayed in his house. So it's unbelievable, the HaKoros HaToiv, and it was a chus to have them, and other. No, HaKoros HaToiv, the more a person has HaKorah to what a friend did to him, he has HaKorah in Boinshan and vice versa. So over here, Rav Henoch Lebowitz asks the following question. He says, it seems to be from the Rabbeinu Bechaya, or from the Medrash, that is a natural progression. That Vadai, a person who's going to become a Kofa Toiv, there's going to have Kfiras Toiv to Yosef, is going to become an Apikoros. Who says? Yosef was a couple of chins back. He was a human being. He did a lot of good. Fine, agreed, did a lot of good. But that's history. That's history. It's not something that's happening today. To be Kofa, you're going to become an Apikoros to a Kodesh Baruch Hu who's giving you life today. Mechadosh b'chol yom tov ma'aseh bereishis. What's the proof? Maybe he will be not be Kofa to Yosef, and not be a Kofa to Rabbeinu Shleilam. Number one. Number two, the reason why he was Kofa Yosef, the fact that he denied the good Yosef did, was because he was forced to do it. There was a revolution against him. He lost his position unless he was Kofet to Yosef. There's no revolution to force him to become an Apikoros. So who says he's going to become an Apikoros? And from the Medrash it comes out that the Melech says, if you're Kofet but to Vosel Shel Adam, you're going to become an Apikoros. Who says? Says the Henoch Lebowitz. This is very, very powerful. And he says that this is always what will happen. Unless a person thinks to stop this, there is a natural digression. A person goes down and down. If a person allows himself, even if he's forced to be in that position, even if he's forced to be Kofa in Yosef's good, even if he's forced to do this because otherwise he has no choice, but if he starts a little thing, it's like making a tiny hole in a dam. It's going to get bigger and bigger and the whole thing's going to collapse. A person will become an Apikoros unless a person works on his Midas HaKoros HaTov. And that is why it was very clear, says the Medrash, Ashal Yodah Es Yosef, Ashal Yodah Elokim. You won't know HaKadosh Baruch Hu either. You're going to become an Apikoros. And that is why we understand it works with the parashas, and we find that how they were able to be Kofa Toiv. This is an amazing thing, by the way. It says, Vayareyu Oisonu HaMitzrim Vayanunu. We say it in the Haggadah. What's Vayareyu Oisonu HaMitzrim? Vayareyu, and they were bad. Oisonu. How do you translate? Vayareyu Oisonu HaMitzrim. That should say, if it's bad too, I should say, Vayareyu Lonu HaMitzrim. What's Vayareyu Oisonu? So what's Vayareyu Oisonu?
They made us bad.
They made us bad. What do you mean they made us bad? So the Mephoshim explain.
No, but
Yireo
was like they were afraid.
No, Vayireo was the ayin.
Oh.
Yeah, Vayireo Oisona Hamitzrim Vayanunu. What's that made us bad? Everybody, they may have a difficulty in expressing Koros HaTov, but there's a certain decency. There's a certain element of Derech Eretz that is expected from every single person. It's expected. Vayareyu oisonu hamitzrim vayanunu. How did they destroy Klal Yisrael? These people are heroes. These people are wonderful. They came with 70 people. They saved your nation. These people living in Goshen, leave them alone. What do you want from them? No. These people are terrible. They're going to come in Muhammad. And what's going to happen? Hoven is chakle pen yirbeh. Perhaps. For he can send Muhammad. They'll be in Muhammad. And they'll go without enemies. And these people are a virus. They're going to destroy us. Who said they're virus? Who said they're going to destroy us? Hitler Yimach Shemoy. How was he able to destroy 6 million Jews? He made the protocols of elders of Zion that there's a conspiracy that they're going to mischak maloy pen yirbev v'hoyisikrenu mochomo nosogam hu asanedu. There's a conspiracy of Jews who sit down together I've never read it, but every certain time and they sit down. How are we going to run the world? Either one or two things are happening. Either they're totally useless at doing it, because otherwise Jews will be suffering so much. Or it doesn't happen. But he managed to convince the nation that Jews are they're not human. They dehumanize them. These are terrible people. Vayireyu oisonu means they made us bad. They said that we are terrible people. That is how they were able to destroy. Without that, he could not be able to do that, because there's a certain element of basic HaKoros HaTov you have to have. And the parasha carries on, and the parasha says, and we see many, many places, the depth of how far HaKoros HaTov goes. Moshe Rabbeinu, in the parasha of Va'era, he was told by Rabbeinu Shleilam to bring the Makkos. And he did not do Makkos Dam, and did not do Makkos Kinim. Why did he not do Makkos Dam? Because he says, I can't hit the water, because this water, I'm the thing that saved my life. In this week's parasha, we find he saved his life, he put him in the water, and it saved him. So Moshe Rabbeinu says, it doesn't make sense for me to possibly hit the water. 1 second. What did this water do? Nothing. What, it had a choice to save him or not? What did it do? You put it down and it floats. It didn't work too hard for him. It had no choice to work for him. Right? This water has, a lot of water gone under the bridge since then. This water's gone, there's other water there. Right? Moshe Rabbeinu can't hit the water. It's all the same Kovod Shemayim. He's not doing it in order to hit it after being spiteful. He's doing it because of Kvod Shemayim. Rabbeinu Shlomo is going to bring the biggest Kvod Shemayim to the world by bringing the Nisim of the Makkos to Mitzrayim. So hit it, Kvod Shemayim. Moshe Rabbeinu said, I can't do it. Moshe Rabbeinu said, I can't do Makkos Kinim. Why? Because this earth, a completely different place completely, but this earth was something that saved me when I hid the Mitzri, when I killed him and I hid him. I can't hit the earth. The earth is going to say, hey Moshe, what are you doing? I hid you. What's the idea behind this? So it's a very, very fascinating Rav Dessler, Michtav Eliyahu. And Rav Dessler writes, and this is an incredible idea, The idea is that Hakaras HaTov is not about paying back the recipient, that the recipient should get back something from what you owe him, that he walks away, that you have paid him back. It is within the person himself, that the person has to himself Hakir Toiv. You have to show Hakaras HaTov. You cannot do something that is kofi toiv because you are ruining yourself if you do that. Therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu cannot hit the water, not because the water is going to suffer, because you, Moshe Rabbeinu, will suffer. You cannot do something that yourself will be a kfir toiv. You yourself cannot hit the ground because you yourself will suffer. You will become a kofi toiv, and a kofi toiv to the ground will become a kofi toiv rachman son to Rabbeinu Shalom. That is how it will go. So therefore, you couldn't do it. It's not about the ground or the water. We have to have a kofi toiv to a dog. Why? Because the dog never scared the kids when they're running around in Makas Bukhairis. Generations later, the Kedat HaShrikha Noiso, you got to give to a dog. Well, the same dog to generations later, there's a pedigree dog. It's generations later, what's the big deal? You have to give a curse to you because we, as a nation, have to have a curse to you for things that happen generations later. Kadoima, kadoima, kadoima. Whether it, even more, furthermore, it's incredible, incredible. The Apostle says, later on, by Yisroi, let's understand the background to Yisroi. He's got seven daughters, yeah? So, hard enough to marry off one daughter. Take it from me. He's got seven daughters to marry off. He's a nidui. He's a necherim. He's a necherim. They've all put him into cherim. He is disassociated himself with Avodah Zarah and they've kicked him out. Nobody wants to deal with him. He's got his daughters are going down there. Moshe Rabbeinu goes and he fights off the royim and he gives them to drink. Yeah, he gives them to drink. Wonderful. He ends up the son-in-law of Yisroi. Not bad. Yeah, no, this is to have such a son-in-law of alle Yiddish kindlich gesucht. Yeah, we wish on anybody. He become, and later on, generations later, when they come into Eretz Yisrael, yeah, when they come to fight, they say the great grandchildren of Yisroi by who? Yeah. The kinni, they came along and said to the great grandchildren of Yisroi, quickly go away because we owe a Karas HaTov to the Midyanim because of what Yisroi did. Well, Yisroi did, we got Hakaras HaTov to him. Generation, you paid that up long ago. Moshe Rabbeinu paid it. No, Hakaras HaTov. That Hakaras HaTov goes so far that Moshe Rabbeinu says, Ish Mitzri, they call him Ish Mitzri, Hatzilona, Ish Mitzri, also Ish Mitzri. So, different Mepharshim, some people say Ish Mitzri was Moshe Rabbeinu, looked like a Mitzri. But the Mepharshim, Rechaim Shnevis talks about this. Ish Mitzri is Peshat, that he said to the daughters, don't thank me. Why are you thanking me? Thank the Ish Mitzri. Which is Ish Mitzri? I had to kill a Mitzri. Yeah, with the shame of a fire, you know the famous story. So he hit him. And because of that, our dear Dosan Aviron went and told Pari. And because of that, he had to run away. And therefore, don't give a curse to me. Give a curse to that Mitzri that was killed because of him I'm here today. Well, the Ish Mitzri had no intention that Moshe Rabbeinu should come there. Yeah, in fact, he wanted to hit another Jew. Ad Khan, that's how far Hakaras HaTov goes. Because the more we're sensitive to Hakaras HaTov to another individual, we're sensitive to Hakadosh Baruch Hu Hakaras HaTov. I just want to finish off with one amazing, amazing Maisa. There's a story over here. Does anyone know Akiva Leibowitz over here in town? Yeah, he lives down your side of town. So he has a brother. He has a brother in Boston. Well, sorry? In Lakewood, he's a doctor. He's a doctor. Oh, very okay. Just one second, let's see if I can. Chaim, his name is Howie Leibowitz? Howie. So, Dr. Chona Chaim Leibowitz. Okay? So he became Mukur of Teresha Torah, and he went back to practice medicine. And he was working in the emergency ward in the ER at Brigham, in emergency rooms there. And he said it's crazy. People are coming in with a broken leg. You could keep him at the side because the car accident comes in, so he gets preference. He's in pain. It's chaos. And he's running from one patient to the other. Finally, there's something called Code Blue. Suddenly came in with a heart attack, and Rahman al-Islam, they were trying to work on this woman, and they can't get the heart to work. And they're trying again and again, and he's not being able to revive her. So he says, he pushes through and he said, let me try. And he tried, I'll just read what it said. Dr. Leibowitz tried numerous times to get a heartbeat, but he was unsuccessful. The other doctors began to leave the cafeteria, shaking their heads in disappointment that a patient had died right before their eyes. However, Dr. Leibowitz would not give up, not yet. He tried a fifth and sixth time to stimulate the heartbeat, but it wasn't happening. He realized the end was near if he had not already come. He would try one more time. He pressed the control button on the defibrillator with added emphasis. He glanced at the cardiac monitor. The razor-thin line that had been flat darted upwards. There was life. A doctor called out in belief, "You got a heartbeat!" Infused with hope and determination, Dr. Leibowitz worked frantically to continue the heart's revival, and with concerted effort managed to stimulate a feeble pulse. He ordered medics to transfer the patient to the third floor intensive care unit, where she would be treated and observed every moment. Once in the ICU, her progress was slow but steady. He went back to emergency ward, etc., etc. An amazing thing. This woman was not Jewish. Yeah, she was not Jewish, but he decided he's going to visit her for sake of Kiddush Hashem. She came into the room. And as he walked into the room, she shouted out, "He's the one! He's the one! He's the one!" The man shouted, said to his wife, "He's the one! He's the one who saved your life! That's the one I've been telling you about!" "And who are you?" said Dr. Leibowitz, extending his hand to the gentleman. "I'm her husband, and I saw how you worked to save my wife's life." "Where were you?" said Dr. Leibowitz. "I was with her when it happened, but when they whisked me out of the room, I stood watching from behind the glass wall." The woman began crying uncontrollably. Dr. Leibowitz stood there somewhat embarrassed, waiting for her to compose herself. When she did, she spoke softly and said words Dr. Leibowitz will never forget. "What do I say? Thank you." That's what you say to someone who holds a door open for you, not to someone who has just given back your life. "But I will tell you this. When I go home and see my children, I'll remember you and I'll say, 'Thank you, Dr. Leibowitz.' In a week from now, when I take a walk with my husband, I'll think of you and say, 'Thank you, Dr. Leibowitz.' The next time I go out with my friends, I'll think of you and say, 'Thank you, Dr. Leibowitz.' And the next time I have a birthday, I'll remember you and say, 'Thank you, Dr. Leibowitz.'" Her words were simple and heartfelt, gentle but powerful. When Dr. Leibowitz left the room, he walked out of the hospital corridor and said to no one and to anyone, "When I come home and see my wife and family, I'm going to say, 'Thank you, Hashem.' The next time I daven and feel connected to Hashem, I'll remember and say, 'Thank you, Rav Noach Weinberg.' And the next time I learn Chumash, I will say, 'Thank you, Rav Noach Weinberg.' The next time I walk up the stairs out of breath, I'll say, 'Thank you, Hashem.'" Dr. Leibowitz returned to the emergency room a humbled and grateful person. That's his parasha. Derech Eretz Kodmah LaTorah is to understand as much as we possibly can. Thank Ribbono Shel Olam, thank people around you, because ultimately that is, the more we sensitize ourselves to Kodesh Baruch Hu, to people, that will be to Ribbono Shel Olam, and the more we sensitize ourselves to Ribbono Shel Olam, Ribbono Shel Olam can give us back the enormous amount of chesed, because he knows that we will appreciate that. Shukriya.
Tomorrow at the same time.